I suspect that I didn't think about it at the time that song was chosen, that the last verse of that song says, anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. And so as we are here tonight to learn more about Jesus, the purpose of our being here is not to go to sleep, and I hope not to present a sermon that would cause one to go to sleep. I want to ask a question tonight, one that perhaps has caused people to ponder, caused people to question. That question is, did Jesus practice tolerance? The person who is grounded in the faith, the person who has convictions, and the person who speaks out to expose and reprove error is often charged with this: you have no tolerance. This charge presupposes that we are unconditionally and without qualification intolerant. But before we take exception to the charge, or before we readily agree to such charge, don't you think it necessary that we know what tolerance is? If someone were to come up to you and say, you are too tolerant, would you accept that without knowing what tolerance is? I don't think so. Tolerance, by definition, is the acceptance of the differing views of other people, for example, in religious or political matters, and fairness toward the people who hold these different views. One thing is absolutely certain, that on many different subjects, folks hold different views. And that is true when it comes to religion. All we need to do is drive from our abode to here and think about how many different places of worship that we pass. Do you know that those places of worship are there because people have different views on religion? Now, I'm not going to get into why they have the different views, but I want to continue to focus upon this question, did Jesus practice tolerance? Knowing that our question focuses upon Christ and regards his life and his teaching. In essence, we're asking, was Christ fair in dealing with religious folks of his day? The short answer, of course, is yes, he was fair. Jesus lived under the law without sin. And those things that he told those people to do would be the things that were supposed to be done under the law. For those of us who believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, Jesus' attitude towards sin is very important. We must, when we look at Christ and the things that he taught, understand the covenant under which he lived. He lived under the old law, under the Old Testament covenant. And therefore, those things which he addressed were addressed to those people who lived under that Old Testament covenant. But we need to understand that some of the precepts, some of the ideas contained in the mind of God were pointed out. We need to understand that we need to look at Jesus and his teaching that he sent his disciples afterwards, while we're asking ourselves this question, did Jesus practice tolerance? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 tells us how we can avoid losing the hope of the gospel. We, none of us, want to lose the hope of the gospel. And so this is an important passage. We need to remain in the gospel, remain in the truth, and continue in it in the faith grounded and settled. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, what am I saying? When we continue in the faith grounded and settled, when we take a stand, people are going to say to us, you're legalistic. Well, I suspect that we should all be proud of being called legalistic, provided that legalistic means that we're following the law. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 is a passage which Christians cannot obey if we have tolerance unconditionally in all areas. We need to see if there is an area in which we can be tolerant. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does this passage mean to us? It tells us that we must firmly stand. We must not be tolerant when it comes to sin. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11 also shows without a doubt that tolerance in all areas is not acceptable. This is dealing with fellowship. We are directed here to take a direct approach to reprimand them for their own good. We can't say, well, so-and-so is a Christian, but they're doing wrong, but because I don't want to hurt their feelings, I will tolerate what they're doing. That's, in essence, what we're talking about. The passage there reads, proving that which is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have to be somewhat legalistic in order to do that. In other words, we have to go to God's law, properly divide the word of God, and then reprove those that are in the wrong. As Christ set many wonderful examples before us, we want to take a look at some of the events in his life to answer the question, did Jesus practice tolerance? Let us keep in mind, he lived under the old law. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that he left for us an example. What greater example could we have than the Son of God? He came, he lived his life according to God's will so that you and I would have the example to follow. Can you imagine? Today, people honestly and sincerely say, this is too hard. Can you imagine what it would be like if we did not have that perfect example? We would start out the gate saying, this is impossible. The Bible teaches us we can do all things through Christ. But 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, we're not expected to go back under the old law. We're not expected to go back and live as Jesus lived from the standpoint of the time in which he lived. But we are to follow the example in that he did God's will. Matter of fact, that was his purpose here, wasn't it? I come to do the will of my Father. And that's what we are to do. We need to understand that Jesus was tolerant in matters morally and doctrinally indifferent. Doctrinally indifferent. Say that three times real fast. When there is a matter that is morally and doctrinally indifferent, we can tolerate things. In other words, they're not breaking God's law. Is it a matter of opinion or is it a matter of thus saith the Lord? And we need to divide these things. It would be good if we were to do as we often make decisions relative to buying or making a major purchase. A lot of times people will tell you put a line down the center of the paper and put pros and cons. And write all the pros on one side and all the cons on the other. And which way weighs out more is usually the way you ought to go. When we look at situations, we need to ask ourselves, what are the pros and the cons? But we need to divide them according to God's word. The Pharisees were very concerned and intolerant at Jesus' disciples plucking and eating corn or wheat on the Sabbath. We find this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. As we see this, we compare the attitude of Christ and compare that against the attitude of the Pharisees. They were intolerant. They immediately stood up and said, wait a minute, your disciples are wrong. Why? Because they were doing something such as work on the Sabbath. But what were they upset about? They were upset because the disciples broke the traditions. There's a difference. Jesus was very tolerant when it came to this issue. When we read this, we need to be keenly aware of what is occurring and why is it that the Pharisees were quick to jump to take exception. We need to also be aware of the fact that Christ did know sin and therefore did not promote or allow sin. Do you know that if we promote or allow sin, we're as guilty as those who commit the sin? Stop and think about that when you talk about tolerance. He trained these disciples who would, following him and following his departure through the Spirit, introduce Christianity to mankind. They were the agents through whom the church would be introduced. Do you think Christ would tell them something wrong to do? Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. What in the world was Jesus talking about? He brought up David in the temple. He brought up the priest in the temple. Now let's stop and look at these particular things. Why was it not lawful for David to go into the temple and to eat this showbread? Was it unlawful for David to go into the temple? No. He was a Jew. He was one who was able to go into the temple and to serve God, worship God. But David was not of the Levitical tribe. And therefore he was not to touch the showbread. He was not to eat it, of course, and those with him were not to eat it. This was not lawful for him to eat, only for the priest. What about the priest? What about their activities on the Sabbath? What were they to do? They were to go into the temple. They were to work. And according to the Pharisees, this was unlawful. But according to God, it was what was directed for the priest to do, wasn't it? To go into the temple, to do these things. Where does the Mosaic law teach what the disciples did was wrong? The Pharisees said it was wrong, didn't it? But where does God's word say it's wrong? It doesn't. The Pharisees revered David, and we have it recorded where David broke the law, but the disciples break tradition, and therefore they were condemned. What is the standard here? I'm afraid with the Pharisees that the standard was the tradition. This is what we say. Therefore, when they do something different than what we say, they have broken the law. What are these Pharisees doing? They're putting themselves in the place of God. We can't do that. This is what is called situation ethics, meaning basically justifying what you do based on the circumstances. I've had people say to me, you know, such and such might be sin to you, but it's not sin to me. Well, what does the Bible teach us regarding sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. And therefore, if these disciples, when they went through and they break off the ears of corn or the kernels of wheat or whatever it was, if they were breaking these off on the Sabbath and eating them, and they were against the law of God, Jesus would have reprimanded them. But he didn't. These Pharisees were justifying what was done based upon the circumstances. They were also very intolerant regarding Jesus' disciples eating without washing. We have this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. Now, I suspect that it's important, even more so today, that we wash our hands before we eat. It's important, especially if you've been working with your hands outside or had your hands in some sort of caustic material. You may put it on the food and put the food in your mouth. The next thing you know, you have sores in your mouth. You have to be very careful. But again, this particular situation was based upon the tradition of the Pharisees. Matthew 7, 1 through 13, Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the fathers. Notice right here in verse 3, it tells us that this is based upon the tradition of the fathers. and when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things, such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. And many such things, or many such like things, do ye. Now, what was Jesus saying here? He was pointing it out. He was driving it home that your traditions are more important to you than the Word of God. So we see that in these type situations, Jesus was intolerant. Or tolerant. He was very tolerant. He allowed those things which were allowed under the law, even if the Pharisees said they were unlawful. But we need to also understand that Jesus was intolerant. The casual reader of the New Testament can even see that Jesus observed the law. He was many times outspoken. He was intolerant when he went into the temple, when he turned over the tables of the money changers, when he accused those people of making his father's house a den of thieves. He would not tolerate these things. I hear people today, when someone preaches a false doctrine and someone stands up against them, withstands them to the face, well, now you're going to hurt their feelings. Friends, I would much rather hurt somebody's feelings here on this earth than to stand there and know that they weren't instructed more properly here on earth and see that they go to hell. In addition, if I do not stand up and tell the truth, or stand up when folks do not tell the truth, I myself might find myself in the wrong place. In the mentioned cases regarding the Sabbath and the washing of hands, Jesus was intolerant with those who bound their traditions. We see that he was tolerant toward his disciples, not because they were his disciples, not because they were his friends, not because they wielded any power, but because they were doing according to the will of God. They were not bowing to the tradition of the Pharisees. The most wonderful sermon ever delivered is the Sermon on the Mount. We find this in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. I'm not going to read the entire Sermon on the Mount. But we need to understand that this sermon is actually an expose of Phariseeism. Jesus expressed much intolerance and was very plain and outspoken. Just a few of these passages we'll see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was the problem with the Pharisees? Were they not striving to serve God? They said they were. They made every appearance that they were. But they held their traditions in higher esteem than they did the Word of God. Why do you think on several occasions he called them hypocrites to their face? He didn't gather his disciples up in a corner somewhere and say, Look at those hypocrites. He said it to their face. Why? Because they were wrong. When somebody's wrong, we have to stand up. Paul withstood Peter to the face, did he not? Paul was not going to tolerate the actions because Peter was to be blamed. He was wrong. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Jesus, continuing his Sermon on the Mount, says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues as in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thee pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. As we approach this situation and we look at it, we see a number of things that have occurred here. We need to make sure that we properly understand this. He said, don't give to be seen of men. When we give, we should not sound a trumpet. We should not drop our coins into the offering plate so loudly. It always amuses me when children are given coins. We had one little fellow, he made sure that he pinged it off the side. He wanted you to hear it. He was giving some money. He did it innocently. But these folks did it. And look at me, look what I'm giving. I give a lot here, I give a lot there. They were doing it so that they might have reward of men. Friends, that is not the kind of reward we want, that we should be looking for. So I guess what it boils down to is we're asking the question, when we see that Jesus was tolerant in some areas but yet intolerant in others, was Jesus inconsistent? Upon a closer examination, one sees that when Jesus was tolerant, there was no sin involved. In other words, the situation did not warrant him speaking up about it. In other words, his disciples had not sinned as they plucked those ears of corn, as they provided sustenance for their body. But we see also that when Jesus was intolerant, sin was involved. Not on the part of himself, but on the part of those who committed sin. How many times did he point out the sin of the Pharisees? Time and time and time again. Why? Because they were to be blamed. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, we are to follow the example that Christ set for us. We are not to be inconsistent. Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps. So in matters not involving sin, the Christian can be tolerant. But in matters involving a violation of God's law, we must be intolerant. Jude, verse 3, tells us the path that we are to take. When he wrote to them of the common salvation, it was needful for him to write unto them to earnestly contend for the faith. What does that mean? That means stand up. That means be strong. When God's law is in question, we have to stand on God's law. God's word is also the standard to determine right and wrong, not emotions or not what is politically correct. People often question our motives when something takes place. When we stand against someone, when friendships are severed, I know whereof I speak. I have had friendships that were dear to me that were severed over this situation of whether or not to be tolerant or intolerant. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14 deals with this. This was the situation in which Peter and Paul had an altercation in front of the Jews and the Gentiles. Notice the occasion happened publicly. And so Paul withstood him publicly. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and do not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We know the situation and what had occurred there. But Paul here was intolerant because Peter was to be blamed. What are we to conclude from this? I can give you the answer to our sermon title, the question, did Jesus practice tolerance? Yes and no. But he never, ever practiced inconsistency. And we are to follow his example. And we are, as Christians, to be consistent, totally, completely walking according to the Word of God. When a discussion of tolerance is experienced, there must be a determination as to the nature of the particular situation. Is it a circumstance that is morally and doctrinally indifferent, or does it involve moral and doctrinal issues? Such a determination decides whether or not we are to be tolerant. You know, we may be tolerant in a lot of areas, but when it comes to the salvation of souls, we cannot tolerate false teaching. What does the Bible teach us to do regarding the saving of a soul? When we set someone down and we talk to them, we must let them know what the Bible says to do in order to be saved. The Bible teaches in Romans 10:17 that we are to hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to believe it. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. In Acts 2:38, after the people had come to Peter and the rest of the apostles and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In Romans 10:10, we see that we are to confess. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we are to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And then we are to live faithfully unto death. Friends, we cannot live in this life and be tolerant of sin. 2 Peter 2:20-21 tells us that if we are tolerant of sin, we will be like those who have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with us than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So what is the gospel plan of salvation? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live faithfully unto death. In those things, we cannot be tolerant. It's God's way or the highway, and that highway leads to hell. We also need to understand that as Christians, we can get off of the straight and narrow path. It's easy to do. One way that we do it is to become tolerant to sin. If we've allowed sin to separate between us and God, we need to realize and understand that God also has provided a way for us. Some call it the second law of pardon. In Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart shall be forgiven thee. We're going to turn to 692 and sing softly and tenderly. Understand that God's word is inviting you. If you have need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.